What's happening, San Diego? Welcome in to the midweek edition of Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Together in our Odyssey Palace studios, Tony Gwynn Jr. You can see him out there. Wave to him if you're driving past. He's on the 8 freeway somewhere headed towards Phoenix and then eventually Peoria.
I think he's driving.
You think he's past that?
I think he's driving like 30.
30 miles an hour?
He told us he left at like 11.
So 2 o'clock.
How long does it take to get there?
5 hours.
Okay, never mind. I did my math wrong once again. And I forgot about the hour time change, Chris.
Yes, Tony hopefully will be... We'll see. He may be able to join us for the final hour. But if you are jonesing for a report from Peoria, we'll have one for you. Because Sammy Lev is already there. And he'll give us the latest Padre scuttlebutt coming up in this 2
like
o'clock hour. Yeah, it's a good word.
It is.
So we got a lot going on. Next 4 hours, hanging out with you. We got a sports court. We got our high school update with Michael Flicks tonight.
Correct.
High school basketball playoffs got underway last night for the boys.
Are you refereeing any of them?
Tonight, the girls. I am. I'm refereeing tonight, right after the show, as a matter of fact.
Okay, can we talk about your schedule, sir? Because
today's schedule has been nuts. Today's schedule has been bananas. And it's, it's not over. I mean, I'm just kind of warming up. I started with my, every Wednesday, this isn't a, you just ask what I did. So I'm going to tell you what I did. Wednesdays are my day to go volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Down packing meals.
I didn't know that, yes.
Yeah, so I do that on Wednesdays. So that was my first thing this morning. Got back from that just in time to throw my gear in the car and get over and announce the Aztec women's basketball game, which was an 11 o'clock game today.
Pre-planned, it's like a field trip day, right?
Field trip day. They had over 4,000 people at the game. Good turnout. Parents come. It's really a good idea. It's just a really good idea. You know, you bring a bunch of kids, bus them in to see the game. They bring their parents, and people, get a chance to see a game. So I think the schools love it, and the team loves it because they've got a nicer crowd. It was an 11 a.m. game. Problem, somehow the word did not get to the officials.
Oh, no.
That it was an 11 a.m. game. So... they ended up having to wait a little while for the officials to finally get there. And it really wasn't that big of a deal. But when I first heard that the officials were not aware of the 11 o'clock game, I told our coaches, so my stuff's in the car. Because I'm reffing tonight, so
okay.
I have my stuff in the car.
You can't ref a college women's basketball game.
Well, first of all, I could. I'm pretty sure I could.
You're not, like, certified for it. And I'm not saying
I'm not,
that...
No, you're right.
I'm not saying that you can't do it.
No, you're right. I'm not certified for it. It would be ridiculous, and it would be absurd for me, who's a bit of an Aztec fan.
Yeah, right?
Happens to know all the players pretty well and their parents and everybody.
I can just imagine how that would go.
Yeah, start calling fouls against them, right?
Yes.
Because here's the thing. You would think if I was actually somehow summoned because there was no other choice, right, and I had to do the game as a referee, you would think I'd be favorable to San Diego State. I think I'd be favorable to the other team.
So you can be
because I'd be trying so hard to make it look like I'm not playing favorites.
Well, it didn't even matter in the end.
No, they end up winning big today.
Like 72-49 or something?
72-43, actually.
43?
Yeah, good game. Girls, women played well. They got the refs there. They got the game in. But because the game was delayed at the start, I left campus... I'm going to say 25 minutes to 2, and it's normally about 15 minutes here, maybe 12, but on a day with traffic.
12?
Yeah, I'm going to have 12 on no traffic, but there was traffic, so it took me maybe 16, 17.
Okay.
And then you know how my life is. I do live down the street, so that's advantageous.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But I had to let the dog out before I came in to do the show.
I understand.
So I raced up here. As you saw, I walked in the door.
You were all business.
3 minutes of 2 o'clock, which is not how I want to do it. But
usually it's 10
all we
minutes
can do.
To 2
it's
o'clock.
Usually 10 minutes. Usually I have plenty of time to relax. I get here 10 minutes before the show. Today is it. But yeah, no. And then right after the game, I'm... Zoom up to ref my high school basketball game. So it's a busy day.
Yeah.
It's a busy day for me.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to be here with all of you, and we appreciate you being here with us as we get the day rolling here. Did I miss anything? I mean, I've been checking in and out throughout
no
my breaks, but it's been kind of a quiet day. The Padres are still, down there working out, as far as I know.
I do know, yes, they are still working out over there.
Yeah.
I do know that they had some automated balls and strikes happen today, and...
Yes, this is on the... We can't stop it.
But no.
No, we can't stop it from eventually happening.
They were testing it out, but the funny part is that Yu Darvish... It was challenged against him. And so Sammy Lev put up the actual tweet of the video of the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yu Darvish was so upset by this thing. He's already angry.
Oh, he hates the automatic balls and strike guy?
It's going to go both ways. You're going to hear him in Japanese, and then you're going to hear his translator.
I want to hear the Japanese for sure.
Okay, Chris.
What did you think of the ABS system? I feel like there were probably about two pitches that I thought were strikes, but were called ball. Given that, I do not like it.
Attaboy, you! I knew I liked Yu Darvish. I knew there was a reason for liking Yu Darvish. Stay with it, you. Do not let them put this system in.
If you go to the 97.3 The Fan Twitter, at 97.3 The Fan SD, Chris, watch Yu Darvish's face right here.
Oh, hang on a second. You have to look over here.
I'm not on the stream.
Oh, okay.
You have to look over here.
All right, let me see.
But watch Yu Darvish's face as the question is being asked. You can see how annoyed he is
everything.
He's
like, oh, no, I know.
He rolls his eyes a little bit. He can't really come up with words. He's just angry about it.
Yeah. He's a little upset, but hey, that's what I want to hear. That's why I want to hear everybody say that. I want to hear every pitcher say that. I want to hear every batter say that. I want to hear every manager say that until it's no more. But I'm still going to lose.
I don't mind the challenge system. I don't mind the challenge system.
It's okay. If it works perfectly the way it is designed,
it does.
I think that the challenge system can work.
Okay, give me a minute.
It does seem to make sense based on the videos I've seen. The batter raises the hand. The umpire gets word very quickly.
Yep.
We get right back to it. Okay.
Yep.
But, there's going to be some... Here's the thing with the challenge system. Correct me if I'm wrong, Scrabe.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Let me hear it.
If you have the challenge system, and you're only going to get so many challenges a game, right? They're not going to let you challenge every call. We'd be there all day.
Yep.
So you're going to get a certain amount of challenges. You're going to save it. Bases loaded, 3-2 count, right?
Seventh inning,
big deal. Pitches right on the corner or off the corner. You take it, they call strike. You're going to challenge. What if the challenge says it was a strike? But we all know that because it was a curveball that bent down below, it was way down below the knees. There's just going to be more controversy, isn't there? The basic problem with the automated, what do they call it, ABS?
ABS, automated balls and strikes.
All right, automatic balls and strikes. The basic problem to me doesn't seem like it's on a fastball, right? Because there's a rectangle box.
Yep.
The ball is straight. It goes into the box. It hits it or it doesn't. Boom. Strike or ball. That seems pretty...
It's much more complicated than that.
Okay.
There's Z-axes, L's.
I know what you're saying, but a fastball, it makes sense to me that it would work. Curveball or a breaking pitch, one with some of the movement. How about a knuckleball? Has a ton of
movement.
That'll
be interesting.
It has a ton of movement. It's coming in. Does the ABS system recognize exactly when it gets to the plate?
They wouldn't have this if it didn't.
Because we've seen curveballs that are... above the shoulders, then they drop down. And it looks like it's in the box.
I think I have an answer.
It's not a strike.
I think I have an answer.
Think you're going to still have some major issues, especially when you have a challenge system that still gets it wrong.
I think I have an answer because remember when we talked about them measuring each and every baseball player so that each strike zone is unique to them? So it's going to be not the perfect strike zone, but... their strike zone. The ball is going to be tracked through that zone. Now go to the stream, Chris, because Sammy Lev was out there, and we're going to talk to him at 2:40. But Yu Darvish was out there, and they did the ABS thing.
Okay.
So here is the process, and if you can't see, we'll describe it. But Yu Darvish is about to pitch.
Right, he's into the windup.
Inside, they called it a strike. The batter taps his helmet. The challenge shows that it was a ball. And that's as fast as it is, Chris.
That's very fast, but I don't know that it was, you know, do we know
that's
it was
a
right?
ball? Look, that, we're right behind the plate.
Okay.
Do you, okay, one more time, Chris. Is this
well,
a ball?
First of all, I'm a pitcher, so everything's a strike as far as I'm concerned.
Is this a
and
ball?
And I believe it's the same for Yu Darvish. He thought it was a strike, too.
For everybody who can't see this.
Yeah, it's probably
it's
a ball.
It's inside. It's by, inside.
You know how far it's inside? By about a fraction of an inch.
And look at where, on the screen, the ball shows itself to be a fraction of the inch
Do
outside.
Do we need to be that correct? Do we have to be that minutely correct? I get it if Angel Hernandez is blowing calls because they're missing by 5 feet. But 1 inch, we have to be correct?
Angel Hernandez is in midseason form.
I don't think it's 1 inch,
That's
Chris.
That's my problem.
It's not 1 inch.
Because that batter challenged it and got it to be called the ball there.
Yes, but it's not really 1 inch because you can only do it twice a game and you... I mean, how many times have we seen an umpire take the bat out of a player's hand?
Once. I can remember once in the last 2 or 3 years, Jake Cronenworth got totally hosed on a pitch that was about 9 feet outside. Everything else, in my mind, is two strikes, protect the damn plate, and if they ring you up, go sit down. That's baseball.
Joseph said, I'm in agreement with Chris. Nick says, Dodgers organization will spend $1 billion deferred on a developer to make every pitch a strike, even if it's a ball. You know, you have support out there, but I really don't think this is a bad thing.
All right. I would love to see
it. It's going to go through some growing pains.
Here's the bottom line. I can hate it as much as I want. It's going to happen.
Just like streaming.
Exactly. So, and I'm going to argue against that as well. All right, we're underway. Good day to be with you. Glad you're with us. Middle of the week. Tony should be down there in Peoria. We hope we get him a little later. We'll definitely have Sam Levitt with an update. Couple of baseball moves today. We'll let you in on those. Some signings when we come back and get further underway on Gwynn and Chris. Hi, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. 2:18 is the time. If you heard the first segment, you know that I'm like an old guy and I kind of want my baseball back the way it was, but it's never going to be. I get it. I understand it.
Get off my lawn!
Yeah, I know progress is, you know, going to continue. So, and most of the stuff I've fought against, I've ended up liking. So, hopefully I like the balls and strikes thing. I think if it's two strikes, I don't know.
I was taught,
protect the plate, swing the bat.
Maybe they will protect the plate. It doesn't change the strategy of the bat.
You don't have to protect the plate. If it's 1 inch outside, you can challenge and you'll get the call.
I don't think we're going to be seeing them use it. Like, the only time we're going to be seeing it is when it's actually a big moment or it's an egregious bad call.
Well, I haven't, I really can't recall an egregious one, except that Cronenworth one, and I'm pretty sure that was 2 seasons ago.
I think I know what you're talking
about. There's calls that are close, and you go, well, I wish that was a strike, or I wish that was a ball. Hey, life's tough. You know, pitch through it. Let's go.
I don't know why you're so resistant to making...
Because I'm the same guy that referees a basketball game, and I know you, the fan, want every single call to be right, and it's just not realistic. So if there's a block charge and it doesn't go your way, get up and run down the floor and play defense. You might get the next call. This is how life works. Not everything goes in your favor.
You're not supposed to do that, though. You're not supposed to be like, well, as a referee, you definitely shouldn't have a makeup call because you
didn't say you want to make a call. I'm saying that if you get a call that, let's say I make the call on you and you didn't like it, go play defense. And, you know, keep the game going. It's a long game. There'll be other calls. This is, to me, that's a more representative of how life is. In life, you don't get do-overs. You don't get a chance to replay when you do something, you know, that you didn't want to do.
Believe me, I know, Chris.
I know. So why does sports have to be the one place where we're perfect?
Because there's too much money on the line.
You beat me to it.
Oh, I didn't know that's where you're going.
I was going to answer my own question. There is so much money being bet on these games now that maybe it is practically imperative that you get the calls right. As a matter of fact, I saw a story today in my perusing of the phone.
Okay.
Since that was my show prep.
I think you need to just rush into the show every day.
I'm still energized from driving through the traffic. Oh, here's the story that I wanted to touch on. U.S. sports betting industry posts record $13.7 billion revenue. That's not how much money was bet. That's how much you out there lost.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that next time you are going to beat the system and make, you know, a 19-team parlay, Scraby.
I don't bet thousands of dollars.
I know you don't. You keep it under control.
I have a budget. I have a budget, and I stick with that budget because I know I will lose. I mean, Chris, we've been doing the Daily Gambit for about 4 years now.
Right, and we know we're not very good.
Exactly.
We know it's hard to do.
You know, some people are saying that sports betting could become the new tobacco industry.
In terms of
dangerous for the public health, but raking in profits.
How about it already is?
I know. Tobacco had to change, though. Because now there's warnings everywhere. Not as many people smoke.
I've been talking about this for dozens of years, not just this year. But you know how, you know, what's the word I hate? You did this yesterday.
Yes.
Where you forget a word and you can't.
Animosity?
No, there's just, I'm totally behind this thought. That's the word I'm looking for. Okay. I can't think of the word that describes that.
Use your sentence and maybe I'll figure it
out.
Yeah,
that's okay. But I can't think of it. Darn it. Here's the bottom line. It's hypocritical to go out there and tell everybody to be careful because drinking ruins lives. Drugs ruin lives. And, you know, this, that, and the other. Smoking causes cancers and ruins lives. So we have a war on all of that stuff, right? War on drinking, war on this, war on that. Yet gambling, which can tear up lives just as much and maybe even more so sometimes, is there one person out there that's anti-gambling?
Yeah, I mean,
when's the last time you saw it, in every one of the FanDuel spots,
at
the bottom of the screen, it says 1-800-GAMBLING. Excuse me, I think the cigarette companies would have been more than happy to put at the bottom of the screen.
They did, and then
that eventually went away because we knew that that was having no effect. People were still smoking endlessly.
Yeah. People are going to do what they want to do.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But we don't have to make it seem like the cool thing to do. I think we can at least as a society do our best to try to dissuade. And if people want to do it, then it's a little bit more on them.
I think the gambling industry is going to face the same sort of blockades that every other industry faced because it's just brand new. So it hasn't gotten there yet.
Not yet. No.
It's going to happen faster because people are starting to... I've seen anti-gambling stuff. I talk about it on the Scraby Show.
You and I are up against the entire world, which is, you know, betting on all this
stuff. But see, it's like alcohol. With me, I can't drink alcohol. It's not for me. I don't think that other people should stop drinking alcohol because I can't drink. It's the same with betting. I can bet. I can budget myself and bet.
You feel
like
you can control it.
Other people cannot. So they shouldn't bet.
There's many.
But they might be able to drink.
13, okay, fair enough. But $13.7 billion. Next time you think you're winning, you're part of the losing. Just understand that.
Yeah. They don't build more buildings in Vegas because they're losing money, is what someone once told me.
Me.
Oh,
I think
I
told you that one.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like one of mine.
Man, that was a really smart guy.
Sounds like one of mine. All right. How did we get to that?
I have no idea.
Oh, I know. The balls and strikes, and we had to get all the calls
right.
All the betters.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's how we got to that.
Yes. Do you want to hear from Mike Schilt?
Real quick, I told people there was a couple baseball moves, so let me pass those along, and then we'll hear from Mr. Mike. The moves that I saw today... that were interesting enough to me. Brendan Rodgers, formerly the Rockies, good hitter. We'll see if he can hit outside of Coors Field, though he goes to the Astros.
That's a good spot for
Astros are in the midst of trying to get, you know, Jose Altuve as a left fielder. So second base could be open. Brendan Rodgers, Gold Glove winner. Speaking of the Rockies, they signed somebody. I had to look it up to see who this was. Scott Alexander, a former lefty reliever for the Dodgers.
Yep, I know who that is.
He's hit rock bottom.
Ooh, no,
and
no
signed,
pun intended.
No pun intended, and he signed with the Rockies. Lucas Sims is another right-handed reliever, kind of a middle reliever guy. Nationals signed him. And Shoto Imanaga says he's honored, as he should be, to get the opening day start in Tokyo against Yoshinobu Yamamoto of the Dodgers. That will be a big party in Tokyo. And that's less than a month away.
That is crazy.
All right.
I'm just glad that we don't have to wake up at 3 in the morning.
I'm kind of glad they didn't choose us for this game. It threw my whole year off last
year. It threw a lot off.
It really did.
I proved to myself that I was getting older because I could not figure out my sleep schedule for like 3 weeks.
It was a mess for a lot of us. And, you know, we didn't get to go to spring training because there wasn't much spring training.
Yeah.
I think it threw everybody off. So let the Dodgers play in that every year and put them against somebody other than us is my feeling on that.
I agree with you there.
I mean, you know, look, Tony and everybody got to experience it. Good for them. I think they enjoyed it. You know, it was an
Except
experience.
Except for Dave Marcus, because he took down the power for all the other radio stations that were in the building. He told us that one time.
Dave Marcus.
I love Dave. Except for the time he didn't say hi to me last week.
Yeah, no kidding, man. He should be held accountable for that. All right,
we're gonna
hear from Mike Shildt. He announced the starting pitcher for Friday's spring training opener. A drum beat, please, or a drum roll, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Spring training start already, Mr. Burgert.
Nice.
Yeah, Ryan will chuck it, and it'll be great. We're excited.
Ryan Burgert.
Ryan Burgert. There you go.
Now, I have his stats up.
You know who he is? Where did he pitch last year?
He's 24.
Double A?
He pitched Missions last year, so double A.
Okay.
He, in his career, not great stats. 13-24, 4.27 in 77
In the minors?
In the minors,
all right. Well, those stats are hard to...
I guess PCL, Pacific Coast League.
Well, you just don't know. You don't know with minor league baseball who's got who, who's playing where.
And before I get it from people out there, it does not matter who starts game number one in spring training.
Means a lot to me.
It does?
This is a big honor for Ryan Burgert.
Oh, you think Yu Darvish needs to be out there game one?
I remember the Aztec alumni game my sophomore season, and there were two games that day. And I was asked, for some reason, to start the first game.
Okay, that's
I don't remember
cool.
what it was exactly. But yeah, I was like the worst pitcher on the team. But I felt, I'm opening the season.
That's right. They're like, we need BP to start
the
game.
Yes, we need to get these guys feeling confident. So why don't you go out there
that is an honor.
And throw a couple of meatballs.
It is an honor. And for this guy, it's a huge opportunity for
him. I think so.
Maybe
Ryan
Burgert. They're looking for lottery tickets. And
what if he just pitches a no-hitter Friday? Like nine inning, you know, just wipes him out.
Does it count if it's in the minor leagues in a spring training game?
I don't think so.
I guess it is the minor leagues, but...
All right, we'll get more from Peoria. Sam Levitt will join us. We'll get into all the rest of the sports stuff later. The Aztecs had a comfortable win last night over Fresno State. Thank you, Aztecs, for not making us have to sweat everything out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, NFL notes, NBA stuff. All-Star break is over. So Lakers, at least, return to action tonight. So a bunch of other stuff as we go along on 97.3 The Fan.
The biggest guests in San Diego sports talk appear on...
All right, I think in that last break, Scrape, I took my first deep breath since about 8:30 this morning. So
whew. You're like a tornado today.
I know, I've been just flying all over town.
That's crazy.
And right after the show, like I said, I'll be heading out to referee. So be on your P's and Q's out there, you
Man.
Basketball players.
How many Red Bulls did you drink today?
It's not that. It's a mental thing where I say, you know what? I'm just going to have to be on all day. So I just mentally prepare and just do that.
That's interesting.
It's one of these things. I think it's similar like the shark. If I stop swimming, I'll drown. It's just,
I'm sorry?
Okay, if I lower my energy level, I'll just fall asleep. And I can't afford to fall
asleep.
So
a shark drowns when they stop swimming?
Yeah, they die. You didn't know that?
They always swim?
Oh, my God.
Sam Levitt is here with us, by the way. Scraby
learning things as we go along.
What happens to another fish if they stop swimming?
I don't know. Some fishes, I believe, can sleep while they're just kind of not swimming. But
Dory
sharks,
from Finding Nemo said, just keep swimming. So
does a shark never sleep?
I believe they sleep while they're swimming around. I'm going to look this up. Look it all up, but I know that sharks have to keep swimming. Or they just, that's ball game.
Oh, man.
That's ball game.
Okay. This is very interesting.
All right. We're learning stuff today, Sam Levitt, who's wearing a New Orleans Firebird shirt today. What is that representing, sir?
Oh, Orleans Firebirds, the team that I worked with in the Cape Cod Baseball League, summers of 2012 and 2013. Shout out to the Orleans Firebirds, yes.
Shout out. Absolutely. Sam Levitt is in Peoria, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to give me a shark update before I start the interview?
This is wild.
You didn't know this, did you?
Sharks do not sleep in the traditional sense, but they rest and conserve energy by swimming slowly or hovering in the water. Some even have to keep swimming to keep water moving over their gills for oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they die if they stop swimming. I can't believe, I'm honestly surprised you.
I've never heard that
kind
in
of
my life.
You know, one of those people who knows stuff didn't know
Sam's
that.
Sam's like, I really needed to go through my day.
Sam Levitt,
and get
did you
can talk about sharks sleeping.
What's more important? Sammy, tell me something more important that's happening in Peoria right now.
Oh, what is not happening in Peoria?
What is not happening? We know Ryan Burger is the starter Friday. We're excited.
Burgers. Like yogurt.
Oh, Burger. I thought it was Burger. All right.
No, not Burger.
Okay,
Burger.
Got it.
We did find that out from Mike Schilt this morning, so that's good to hear that we have an opening day starter, Cactus League opening day starter to be exact, and maybe a little bit surprising, right, in the sense of I don't know that we would have pegged Ryan Burger to be the starter, so it could be for a couple of reasons. Number one, he is somebody that has had quite a bit of experience in the upper levels of the minor leagues to this point. Could be somebody the Padres think could either steal that fifth and final rotation spot. Who knows? Maybe right now on the outside looking in as far as the serious competitors there, but you never know. And somebody that could just be in the mix at some point this season, right? As you have needs in your rotation and guys come up. And he's one of the guys out of that group last year of Adam Major and Robbie Snelling, some of these younger starting pitchers in the system. He's one of the guys that did not get traded at the deadline last year. So it'll be interesting to see Ryan Burger. Nice little honor for him to start the Cactus League opener. With all that said, I never read too much into spring training pitching schedules because it doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. I mean, let's be honest, sometimes you might have the Yu Darvishes and Michael Kings and Dylan Ceases of the world pitching on a backfield for 3-4 innings in a B game just because they want to do it that way instead of pitching in the Cactus League. So I wouldn't read too much into it, but it's not nothing, and we'll see what Ryan Burgert has in store for that first game on Friday.
What a scouting report that was.
That was a good scouting report.
Ryan Burgert. By the way, Sam, to answer your first question, nobody could have predicted that Ryan Burgert would start the game Friday because nobody'd ever heard of him until about an hour ago when Mike Schilt announced his name.
That's not very nice to Mr. Burgert.
I'm not being... All right. Go ahead. Be nice.
Mike Schilt, it was kind of funny because he's got this like dry sense of humor, and he kind of delivered the news like, what else would we go with? Ryan Burgert. I thought it was kind of funny. No, Sam, you posted a video today of Yu Darvish and the ABS system. I loved Yu Darvish's response after that. He didn't really like the ABS system. But Chris and I opened up the show with a little bit of a disagreement. I think this is going to be fine. From what you've seen, do you think this is going to work?
Well, let me put it this way, Scraby. The stakes aren't that high because they're doing it during spring training.
Yeah.
So the entire point of this is to test it out during spring training. This has been sort of the way Major League Baseball has done things for a while. They introduce things to the minor leagues. They introduce things at spring training, and then they get a sense of if this is going to be something they actually implement in the major leagues. And we know that it's not going to happen this year, but certainly I would imagine if this goes well, maybe a chance next year we see it in the actual regular season. everything I've heard about it and from what I saw today, I'm a fan. I like the challenge system. Now, I've said this forever. I don't want full-time robot umpires. I like the human element. I like having the umpires, but the challenge system.
Attaboy, Sammy, keep it alive.
Let him talk.
The way this worked today, and keep in mind, it's been in the minor leagues for a couple of years in some different places, and I had heard a lot about it from both broadcasters and players and really rave reviews about it, and seeing it in person for the first time today. Let me also give you a little context. Yu Darvish was throwing a live BP in the actual Peoria Sports Complex Stadium, which is actually the first time that's ever happened in my three spring trainings. They wanted to get him out there in more of a, I don't know if game setting is the right word, but get him in more of a game environment in the stadium. I don't know how much just testing out the ABS system was a part of it, but it was running, and they were aware that he was throwing a live BP. So they used it sort of casually, like there were some moments where some of the minor league hitters that were facing Yu Darvish where they were like, oh, should I challenge it? And you know, coaches from the stands were like, challenge it, you know, because there's no rules. I mean, this is a live BP, right? Yeah. So it was kind of casual, but it was, I will tell you, really interesting to watch how quick it happens. I mean, batter or catcher taps his head, and within 5 to 8 seconds, maybe, that pitch is up on the board, just like in tennis where you see the ball land and you can see whether it's in or out or got a piece of the line or a most of the line or a sliver of the line. And you see with the amount of inches it's high or low or outside, you see it literally come in from the pitcher, land, and say ball or strike. And I will say it's quick and it's also kind of exciting. I mean, it creates a little drama, and you only have two challenges, so it's not like you can be doing this all the time. Little strategy to it. So we're going to see it more starting on Friday. Okay, like my little description here. It's not going to matter because I'm sure we're going to see it quite a bit once these games start, both in the Grapefruit League and the Cact League. But I'm interested. Put it that way. I'm interested to see how it goes, and I think it may be the perfect marriage between human element and tech.
I think you're right, Sam, because it's not every pitch that's under review. It's two pitches throughout the game that are going to be under review.
Oh, it could be more than two if you get them right.
Oh, but that's true.
I will say, I think it's going to be hard to get them right. I think this is really tough. And, yeah, you have to be careful with how you use them. There's a lot of strategy to it. So it was cool. It was cool to see it today.
Yeah. Just wait until the system says it was a strike, and we all can still see that it was a ball. Just wait. It'll happen.
Chris is like praying for this downfall of the automated
balls
and strikes.
Well, I think, and again, we're going to see it in practice starting on Friday. I do agree with Chris in the sense of we're definitely going to have situations, well, potentially,
right,
where a catcher doesn't frame it or present it very well, so it doesn't look like a strike, and it actually did cross the strike zone. So that could happen. May not be the most aesthetically pleasing thing, but it should be interesting. I'm for testing it. It's not like they're introducing this in games that matter. So I'm for testing it. Let's see.
Sam Levitt is in Peoria. Let's get to some things that matter more than that.
Yes.
And that is the makeup of the Padres roster. I sat here yesterday, even though Scraby and Tony were both somewhat incredulous because they didn't really believe I could do it. And I lost the sheet of paper right now, so that's not helping matters. Anyway, I sat here yesterday, Sammy, and I laid down what I think will be the 26-man opening day roster.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go through the whole thing with you because you're sitting there and you're not going to write it down. But it is possible. I mean, just in the pitching. Let's just start with the pitching.
Yeah.
If you go with the four guys plus the fifth spot's up for grabs, Waldron, it could be Vasquez, it could be Brito, it could be Kyle Hart, could be Burgert, for all we know. If you go with seven relievers who I think are pretty much locks, Suarez, Adam, Estrada, Morejon, Matsui, Peralta, Hoeing, There's one spot left for Sean Reynolds or Alec Jacob or Kolek or Cosgrove. I mean, there's a lot of guys that may not quite make it. I think Gavin Sheets and Yuli Gurriel are going to fight for the last bench spot. Sullivan's going to push for a spot at catcher. Ornelas is still trying to get in there. It's pretty interesting how much competition they've been able to create in a pretty short time when it didn't look like we'd have that, you know?
Yeah, I'll take your question on the pitching side or your comment on the pitching side and run with it, because I agree with you. On the pitching side, it's actually fairly remarkable when you look at the bullpen. We all know with the rotation, there are four guys that are in there. There's one spot, and you've got a pretty good number of candidates, whether it's Kolek or Waldron or Vasquez or Brito or Hart now, or maybe Ryan Berger. Like, I think we all understand that that's a pretty open competition. But, Chris, I'm with you. I counted over the weekend 11 names that I think on most teams, if they're in that clubhouse or in a major league bullpen, Suarez, Adam, Estrada, Morahone, Reynolds, Matsui, Hoeing, Marinaccio, Peralta, Jacob, and Cosgrove. And out of those 11, let's count the seven, and I don't remember what you said, I didn't write it down, but Suarez, Adam, Estrada, Morahone, Matsui, Hoeing, and Peralta, to me, those seven are locks.
Those are my seven,
so,
Sam.
Right, so I'm with you. It leaves, and I'm just repeating what you said, Reynolds, Marinaccio, who, by the way, has been really good with the Yankees organization and pretty good in the major leagues when he's had opportunities. Alec Jacob, Sean Reynolds. I mean, Sean Reynolds was really good in the major leagues last year. And if he doesn't get hurt, I think there's a real chance he's on the postseason roster. And I think the guy could be a closer one day. And he's big and tall and throws really hard. Like, yeah, there's going to be a few guys left out of that bullpen that on most other teams would make their respective bullpen. So, look, it's a very good problem to have. What I like about that is, look, you know what, you're going to need guys to come up and fill roles because of, you know, knock on wood, I don't wish injury on anybody, but it's reality, injury or performance. Guys come up and you're going to need them, and you're going to need fresh arms throughout the course of the year. So, I'm with you. Look, I think the position player, you got to some of the names, a little bit more uncertainty there competition wise, but you're starting to get a sense. We'll see how serious the Gurriel thing is. Said all the right things today, with the media, and, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out with the bench spots and, you know, and all that. But I'm with you. I mean, I look at this bullpen in particular. I think it's got a chance to be really, really, really good and really, really deep. And in 2025, of all the things that you could have a sure thing on entering a season, having a bullpen that caliber, I think, is right up for it in things.
Talking to Sammy Levy here. He is in Peoria. We are in San Diego. And I'm not sure about the Yuli Gurriel thing. We'll have to see. But Chris put him on the roster snap of the fingers. Like, he's signed, he's on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, Yuli is 40 years old. He's a non-roster invite.
I gotta have somebody, Sam, who's, you know, closer to my age. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
It's important
to
me.
He would fit the bill.
He's going to be 41 in June, Chris.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
Just to go over kind of what he said today, because he did speak to the media for the first time. He obviously was asked about the history with Yu Darvish and said that he was grateful and happy to be Yu's teammate. Yu did come over and say hello to him. So it sounds like things are all
patched
good there,
up.
which is good to hear. Cause I know people had a question about that when they heard about the Gurriel signing. Interestingly, he works out with Manny Machado in the off season. So there's a relationship there. Apparently a lot of knowledge on Yuli's part from Manny about the Padres, about the team, and brings a lot of experience. I mean, that's what he said today. He can bring experience. Mike Schilt said the other day he brings wisdom, whatever word you want to use. If he can be a bench piece and hit some home runs and be a veteran presence at 40-41, then so be it. We'll see, because there's competition for the role he would fill. So we'll see. Look, no harm in bringing in Yuli Gurriel, and you know, everything seems to be patched up with Darvish, as you said, Chris, and seeing what he can do and seeing what he's got left in the tank.
Nah, I think you bring in a couple of 50-year-olds. Why not? While you're at it, let's go get some more experience.
You got any in mind, Chris?
Is who Julio Franco?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not young enough to be a candidate, Scrabe.
I know.
What's happening here in the next is there anything we should be on the lookout for between now and, you know, well, I guess the opener's 2 days from now, but you know, just any, everybody's arrived, nobody's holding, you know what I mean? There's none of those kinds of stories this year, right, Sam?
No. Okay. None at all. By the way, I looked it up right now. Julio Franco played till he was 48. He's 66 right now. He's playing in 2007.
He's got good bat speed for his age.
Yeah, really. You know what I would say? No stories like that. I'll just because I haven't been on with you guys, I'll quickly just kind of run down the general vibe. Look, there's been a lot of questions about, you know, what the Padres haven't done, who they don't have, who they've lost. And I do get, and I'm not just saying this, I do get a sense in that clubhouse that they're really focused on who they have and they're confident about who they have. And I think you can't overlook the fact that these guys are healthy. Manny Machado, don't forget, was coming off the elbow surgery this time a year ago. Xander Bogaerts obviously had a big injury last year. Luis Arraez, he spoke today. Mike Schilt spoke about him today. I don't think that we really understood last year how much that was affecting Luis Arraez and how incredible it was that he won a batting title, despite basically having just a really, really, really bad thumb for months. And he ended up getting surgery and couldn't swing a bat until late January. But he told me today he's ready and he was in great spirits today. And I think a healthy Luis Arraez is going to be a lot of fun to watch, even more so than it was last year. They're healthy. And I think you look around that clubhouse, and like we said, you look at now the four in the rotation with Pivetta in their bullpen and the core of offensive players, where they are kind of 1 through 6, 1 through 7 in their lineup. And to me, even though it was a very quiet offseason, and I know there's been a lot of doubts, and maybe this is a little bit of spring training Kool-Aid, it probably is a little bit. But you look around, and I think it feels pretty good, and I think they feel confident in who they are. And I also will say this, I used this word earlier, continuity. Like, there's continuity in your core, there's continuity with your pitching staff, there's continuity with your bullpen, there's continuity with your coaching staff. Don't discount that. I think that's something that's important, and I kind of feel like they want to just roll into this year based on what they did last year, keep it rolling, forget the 24 scoreless innings, but this was a great team before all that. keep on doing what you did last year. Be together as a group as they were last year, and I think they're very confident about that. It's been a good vibe, a quiet spring so far. Not a ton of big headlines, but
good.
That's good. A good
vibe. Just get down to work.
Quiet is good. I'd almost forgotten about the 24 anything until you had to bring it up. No, I'm kidding. We all know.
I think I brought it up
as a
yesterday.
Matter of fact, if they don't score in the first inning of the first game, somebody out there is going to go, oh, now we're at 25. Yeah, so be ready for that to happen.
The best thing they can do is bottom half of the first inning.
Get a couple of runs.
Boom, on the board. Because you know that start in the minute that's three outs reported in the bottom of first.
And one thing you forgot to say is totally intact. The broadcast crew and the pre and the post game and the board ops and all of the backup people are in place.
Everybody's in place.
We're ready for another great season.
Yes.
Nick DiNucci's back in.
He's in, baby. We can't do a game without him, or, you know, Frankie and the rest of them.
And Hamby.
And Hamby. Don't forget Hamby.
Can't forget Hamby.
The crew.
What about
right
Maddie?
There?
Maddie's gone on to greener pastures.
Yeah, Maddie's too famous now. That
she's
too
famous. Yeah,
94.9 midday.
She left
abandoned me. She was Sam's like favorite person to work with, and then she abandoned.
She's, well, she's become a big celebrity
now,
over there.
People can
station.
Only stand me for so long. So
makes sense. Sam, we could have you all day long. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We'll see you down in Peoria soon.
All right, guys. Sounds good.
Thanks, Sam.
Very good. Sam Levitt with a good report on what's happening down there with the Friars. We'll hear a little more from Mike Schilt later on. Talked about Luis Campusano, my guy. I want to see what Mike Schilt thinks about Campy going to the All-Star game this year.
Do you think he said that?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Tirso Ornelas spoke today. You know, he's another guy in this left field thing, you know? It's a little more of a long shot, but
he's a guy.
Not completely out of it. So, all right, all of that's coming up. Daily Gambit kicks off the 3 o'clock hour. Stick around.